The escalating rhetoric aimed at and coming from North Korea rattles the financial system this morning. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Global markets are a lead story this morning. The key stock index in Germany is down 1.7%. Paris is down 1.2%. London's 100-share index is down 0.8%. Also, bonds moved higher and interest rates are falling. Watching the market movements from Europe this morning is Jasper Lawler, head of research at London Capital Group.
It's North Korea, David. Markets are worried here, and we're seeing that across the board. You look at the Euro Stoxx 50, which measures the top 50 stocks in Europe. They're down 1.5%. The Japanese yen, a typical safe haven, that's an eight-week high. And the VIX index, which measures kind of fear out there in the markets, that's spiked. So investors are a little bit worried here.
Indeed. And you also see it in a movement toward bonds. When people want to buy bonds, the yields can come down. You're seeing that in Europe, too?
Absolutely. Yes, that started in Asia overnight. Then that's translated into Europe here. So yeah, naturally, when you're moving out of risky assets like stocks, yeah, you're looking for assets that are a little bit more safer, and government bonds, typically one of those. I would caution that this move has been fairly extreme. And I think that's understandable from the prospect that I mentioned the VIX index there, measuring volatility in the market, that hit a record low very recently. So obviously, this has been one of those moments where there was real complacency out there, record low complacency, if you like. And suddenly we have North Korea on the horizons, a bit more fear in the marketplace now.
Jasper Lawler at London Capital Group, thank you for this.
My pleasure. Thanks, David.
That VIX index of market volatility is up 12% this morning, but again, it had been ticking along at a very low level for months. U.S. stock index futures are down moderately, I should say. The S&P future down 10 points, 0.4%. The NASDAQ future is currently down 0.6%. The Dow future down 31 points, just over 0.1%. Bonds here, the U.S. government's 10-year note is down below 2.25%. Now, the last financial crisis started in so many ways, including the fateful decision to sweep away Depression-era limits on the financial system, many argue. Or did it start when the investment bank Bear Stearns collapsed in March of 2008? But some say it was earlier, 10 years ago today, August 9th, 2007. That's when the French bank BNP Paribas weirdly froze three of its funds. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoth takes us back.
If you're like me, you do not want to start talking about the financial crisis again. Not so for Andrew Metrick.
There's a handful of us who do nothing but worry about this stuff, and I'm one of those people.
Metrick's a finance professor at Yale, for whom today's date is very meaningful. BNP Paribas froze three of its regular money market funds. Metrick says, imagine you went to take cash out of your retirement savings.
And the mutual fund said, well, I'm sorry, we can't do this because we don't know what some of these stocks are worth.
Paribas funds were tied to subprime mortgages in the U.S. And Metrick says this freeze was the first public acknowledgement that even the experts, even banks themselves, could not figure out what these funds were built on. Anath Admati of Stanford Business School says Bear Stearns had frozen some fancy hedge funds earlier in the summer, but
this freezing of a money market fund, which is supposed to be, you know, as good as a bank account, was unusual.
That caused the European Central Bank to step in, which put the rest of the financial world on notice that America's housing boom could be a house of cards. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailoth for Marketplace.
Listen to this case that goes to court tomorrow. A group of Detroit students and families is suing the state of Michigan, saying the public schools in Detroit, which are run by the state, are not teaching people to read. They're not providing access to literacy, is how it's being framed. Michigan says it's less about mismanagement and more about a host of factors, including poverty. Attorneys for the state will argue that there is no fundamental right to literacy. But let's get a ground-level view of this case through the eyes of a public school teacher in Detroit who also attended the public schools there. Her name is Mercy Jones.
I've been a teacher for 15 years. Always wanted to be a teacher. And so just living my dream out now, you know. Kids are changing, but we all do. I graduated from Southeastern High School. And I was top of my class. I was in the National Honor Society. And I just went out into the world thinking that I had all the tools I needed in order to succeed. And I got accepted to Michigan State. And when I went to Michigan State, I was in for a rude awakening. I found out that I was behind the curveball. I promptly flunked out. And it kind of scarred me. So I didn't go back to school for like another 20 years after that. And I said, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So I got straight A's through my junior year, and then I went off to Wayne State. I got high grades there, and then I received two masters after that. I service a lot of underprivileged, poverty-stricken students who have a lot on their plates. I try to give them hope that there is something out there other than the environment that they're in, that they were born into. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to remain there. You can do better than what people say. They're going to have challenges. They're going to have things in their life that they may not be able to change. And I say that from my point of view because that's where I was. When I was at Michigan State, I felt worthless. I felt like I was a failure. I felt like nobody cared because they didn't teach me what I should have known. And for that to be a deal breaker, it weighed heavy on me for a long time.
Her name is Mercy Jones, public school teacher. My colleague Lizzie O'Leary traveled to Detroit to cover this story, and you can hear more in a special report on our program Marketplace Weekend. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.